All right, here we go. My name is Jeff Kane. You're listening to episode 180 of the world famous West Virginia Surf Report podcast. I told you last week was a false spring. All those people walking around in their shorts and their flip-flops and their halter tops and their tube tops. What a bunch of bumpkins. This thing's like, I knew it. I knew it was fake. It was like 76 degrees last week or something like that. It was like warm. Everybody's like, all right, we made it to the other side. Bullshit. No way. It's cold. I mean, it is like bitingly cold out there. The wind goes straight through your skeleton. I mean, it is miserable. I mean, freaking cold. You know, yesterday I got a notification on my phone that said, you took these photographs 4 years ago today. I opened them up. Just a giant snowstorm. Middle of March. That thing looked like it was 2 feet deep, maybe more. Maybe like 3 feet. Not even kidding. I think it was a major snow event. And it was like 4 years ago, mid-March, so that shit's possible. It could happen. It could happen any day. It's not snowing right now, but it's cold, and it is windy, and it is miserable, and that phony baloney false spring from last week, that lie, I told you it was a lie. And now it is like winter. I mean, it's worse. It's like, I don't know. It's hard to explain. But you know, we got a glimpse of spring. And then when it reverts back to the true weather, it hurts more emotionally. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, I told you, I predicted this shit. You guys need to listen to me. God, I don't know why more people don't listen to me. Huh? Can't get anybody to listen to me. Everybody thinks I'm an idiot. All right, anyway, it's cold, very cold. I predicted it last week. False spring, bullshit. Lies, 3 feet of snow 4 years ago today. That brings us up. That's a summary. This weekend, we went down to Allentown, Tony and I, on Saturday. We went down to Allentown. We had a $13 store credit burning a hole in our pocket. Yeah, $13, baby. See, we have a credit card. It's a MasterCard, I think. It's not a Costco card. It's not like a card that you can only spend in Costco. It's not like a JCPenney card or something like that. It's like a MasterCard that's just Costco branded. And you get, throughout the year, you build up money back. You earn money back or whatever. And it comes in the form of a Costco store credit, right? So everybody that has that card gets the store credit on the same day. It's early spring every year. And so I had that, you know, it's $13.35 or some shit like that. And we hadn't been down there in a while. We like to go down there and stock up some stuff. I mean, we have Sam's up here, Sam's Club. It's all right. You know, I don't have any issue with Sam's Club. However, it's kind of boring. It's the same stuff. Every time you go in there, you could go in there today, could go in there 2 years from now, and the only thing that would change is the cost of the TVs, the prices on the TVs, and the size of the screens. But they have the same shit all the time, and it never seems to change. It's predictable and semi-boring. But anyway, Costco seems more vibrant and alive. You know what I'm saying? Maybe it's because we don't go down there very often. Maybe we only go down there like 3 times a year. Now we go more than that, but maybe like 6 times a year. And it's, you know, we don't see it as often. It feels like it's like different stuff every time. Anyway, we had a credit. We went down there. And on the way, Tony goes, I'm sure you're hungry, right? I'm like, why are you taking shots at me? Why? Of course I'm hungry. I mean, is that something you need to turn into a negative? I'm always hungry. She goes, what do you want to do? I said, I don't know. She goes, how about stop? I want to stop at this Tolly's before we even get on the interstate or on the turnpike. And I'm like, that doesn't sound very good to me. I don't want to go in there. I said, for one thing, it'll take an hour. It's a sit-down restaurant. You know, I don't really want to get into all that. She goes, all right, whatever. I'm not the one that's hungry. I said, you're the one that brought it up. What the hell? So we jumped on the old Pennsylvania Turnpike, America's first superhighway, according to the signage. And we were driving. And I said, I know where we could go. I said, I know exactly where we can go. See, a couple of weeks ago, I was at work, and this woman said, you ever heard of a place called Smashburger? I said, it seems like I have. It feels like back in the dank, dark recesses of my mind that I have laid my eyes on a Smashburger somewhere, but I can't remember where. And she goes, man, those things are good. My husband and I go there. We love it. It's fantastic. When we're down in Florida, I said, all right, well, it feels like I remember seeing one somewhere. And then I started thinking about it. I was like, I know where it is. It's right outside the Costco in Allentown. It's in that same shopping plaza. So I was telling Tony, I said, we should go to that Smashburger. She goes, pardon? I said, it's right outside of the Costco. And she goes, what's it about? And I told her the story. And she goes, all right, I'd be willing. So we go down there, and we have a hard time finding a parking spot. Man, everybody is out and about. You know, this was still the tail end of that false spring. Everybody's just, vibrating with excitement, you know. And everybody, the place everywhere, there's traffic. I mean, there's people out everywhere. Just the place is bustling, right? So we finally found a parking space, went in there, into the Smashburger. And I asked people on my website about it, and I got various replies on it. But, I'd never been in one. So we went in there, and I didn't know. At first I thought, is this like one of those white castle type deals, you know? But it's more like a Five Guys type thing. So we went in, we went up to the counter, and the guys working there, not super friendly. I wouldn't put them in that column, you know? They were fine. They were not, you know, there was no warmth, no welcome to Smashburger, what can I do for you? All that shit, you know, it's just, what do you want? You know, that kind of attitude. So I ordered a double cheeseburger, no pickles, of course. Tony ordered a single cheeseburger, and we got some tater tots and a soda to share, right? That's what we do. And it was like $21, which is a lot cheaper than Five Guys, I might add. They handed me, Tony said, I'm going to go get a table because it was kind of crowded in there. So she went and sat down, and they handed me like just a cup of soda. And I'm looking around, and I said, where's the soda machine? He goes, around the corner. You know, like I'm an idiot. Like, I mean, I've never been there before. How am I supposed to know? You know, like stuff it, smash boy. All right. So he goes around the corner. I said, okay. So I start to move in that direction. Right. They got everything partitioned off. They got chairs everywhere. Like everything's partitioned off, you know, on account of the coronavirus. I mean, everything's all, there's all these sections, you know. So I start to move in that direction, and apparently I was going between some chairs that had been set, you know, some kind of fake partition, you know. And I was moving in the wrong, you know, and I was going behind the chairs, which would have been, you know, I mean, those guys, like, freaked out. They were like, no, 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 both of them. There's two of them. No! Like, it acted like I just pulled a pistol out. All I did, I don't even think I put my foot down. I, like, lifted my foot and was starting to shift my body weight in that direction. You know? I hadn't even, like, moved. I hadn't even actually moved from where I was at. I was just, like, shift. I was starting the maneuver of moving my body in that direction, but I hadn't actually moved. I just, like, lifted my foot, my right foot, and they were like, no! Oh, no! You know, I was like, calm down, man. God. I was like getting into it with him a little bit. I said, give me a break. Is that you're going to have to shut this place down and fog it if I move 6 inches, you know, over this fake arbitrary line that you put on the floor? Stuff it up your ass, you know? It was like, irritated me. It made me, irritated the shit out. The guys like made it. Both of them were like freaking out because I was about to cross some arbitrary line that could have been 6 inches in either direction. It's just some guy come up with it, you know, at some point. And it's like, oh my God, if this guy goes across this arbitrary line, you know, we have to shut the whole business down. You know, oh, I was pissed. I was like, calm down, God. So I went back there and got them. They probably put hid something in my burger. And here's my review. Yeah, it's all right. The bun was good. The bun was better than Five Guys. The burger, it was fine. You know, it's not anything I'm going to go out of my way to seek out. But it was good. It was perfectly fine. The tater tots were delicious. My younger boy says, quit using the word delicious. I said, what are you talking about? I don't use that word very often. He goes, you say it like every day. I said, I don't know what you're talking about. But anyway, that happened. So the lunch was good. And they're trying to pass themselves off as some kind of Five Guys type deal. They put it in a bag, you know, like they do, you know, everything, you know, like they. There's a lot of similarities between the Smash Burger and the Five Guys. They're not anywhere in that league. It was fine. It was a good burger. I'm not saying anything negative about it. I enjoyed it. I'd go there again. But it's no fun. I mean, don't even put yourself in the same category as the Five Guys. And when you go to Five Guys, man, that is a substantial, that's a cannonball of delight, you know? They just give you like an aluminum foil cannonball of delight. And then you get that sack of fries, like 500 French fries for like, I mean, it's expensive, but anyway, not anywhere near that good. So then we went into Costco, we bought some shit, you know, coffee, stuff like, you know, the stuff that we bought this big giant container of jelly beans, which is something we like. You know, when we travel, we always have a tradition. We have these big giant, they sell them especially around Easter. I don't know why. Is Easter, is that the only time people eat jelly beans? I want to eat them year round. But anyway, they had them and they were $4 off, right? The regular price. So we bought a vat of those things, huge. I mean, those things, what we do is when we're traveling by car, we get the big vat of jelly beans. And there's like something like 40 different flavors in there. They have some weird shit in there. Some of them are breathtakingly bad. And that's the fun of it. Tony cherry picks it. She's like digging through trying to find like the cinnamon and the peach, you know, all the good stuff. That's not the way, and we get it almost like into arguments about it, because you're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to just like grab a handful, pop them in your mouth one at a time, and let the chips fall where they may. If you get one that tastes like kerosene, that's the sport of it. Then you can like go, oh my God, good Lord in heaven, you know. That's the sport of the whole thing, you know. And there's one pear, it's pear flavored. And I like a pear. You know, there's nothing wrong with a pear, like a piece of fruit. But those Jelly Bellies, pear-flavored, terrible. I mean, they are like, I mean, they'll make your whole lower jaw retract, which is like the beginnings. That's the beginning of a vomit, is when your lower jaw retracts. That's what happens. It's gross. And they had this one, this batch, thing says the normal flavors plus Dr. Pepper, 7-Up, had a bunch of, like, soft drinks or something. I don't know, I think, well, there's like 5 of them. And I also had Krispy Kreme, original glazed. That was one of the flavors. Anyway, there was some, we got those, we popped the lid on those things. Tony immediately started cherry picking. I'm like, stop that, man. You've got to go in and just grab what you get. I mean, it's like the whole sport of it. Why is it that people don't listen to me? They don't. They don't listen to me. And I know so much. I got so much wisdom. All right. So then we went, I don't know, we bought some stuff. We bought some other stuff in there. I don't know, we spent like $100 or so. Then we went over to Shangy's. Have I mentioned this place before? Here's another thing. I said, we got to go to that Shangy's now we're down here. It's this gigantic beer emporium. They have like, it's huge. It's like one of the craziest beer stores I've ever seen in my life. It's right outside of Allentown. And they have like hand trucks. Like you can just walk up. There's hand trucks outside the store. And you can just roll that shit in there and put load that thing up with cases. And just, you know, like you see people walk, like just customers with hand trucks, like a whole bunch of them. Anyway, this place is massive. It's got different rooms in it. It's got this main room. It's huge. And they have these, I mean, all the craft beers. I mean, stuff I've never seen before. And I know a thing or two about it, you know. So I'm going through there. We walk through there. It's like overload, sensory overload. You can't really take it all in. There's so much. And it got all these coolers. I mean, it's massive. Like, and I mean, you can't really. So we just walk around. We look at something that catches our eye. Look it up on Beer Advocate on our phone. See what they rate it. Because we don't know. We don't know jack about a lot of this stuff we don't know. We've never heard of before. And we bought this beer. I don't know. It's called... I don't know. I don't remember what it's called. It's Toppling Giants Brewing Company out of Iowa. You know, it was rated 96 out of 100 in the world class category on Beer Advocate. Bought that. You know, stuff like that. But when I suggested it, I said, let's go over to that Shangy. Tony goes, we can't spend $100 over there again. I said, who said anything about spending $100? I mean, last time we went there, we spent like $120 or something like that. It was crazy. It was the first time we ever went in there. We were like, oh my God, it's like Christmas morning, you know. And I said, who said we have to spend that much? I said, we can spend less. We can spend like, you know, 90, 80. She goes, no, I don't think we should go. I said, why? Everything I propose, you go against it. It's almost like a reflex, you know. And she goes, all right, we can go, but we're not spending very much money. I said, there's not a requirement that we spend a bunch of money. So we spent like, I don't know, $35. And we were back there. They had this room. They have this main room where they have all this craft beer, like a sea of craft beer. It's like unbelievable. I mean, I've been to some crazy beer stores. There's this one down in Myrtle Beach. It's huge. This thing is even crazier than that, right? And then they have this room back in the back where they sell all the, like, the cheap-ass stuff, like Miller High Life and Hams. I was looking at it. They had, like, a big display of Hams. I was like, who buys that? I mean, seriously. I mean, do people really buy that? Hams, like a 30-pack. They have shit like that, you know, you know, the Budweisers and the Bud Lights and all that stuff. They have their own room. It's like separate. So we're walking through there, and there was this display. It was like these big giant displays of beer. Tony goes, there's your Coors that you're talking about. So there was this article. I read this article the other day or a few weeks ago. It said, these are the best cheap beers ranked, right? And number one on the list was Coors, not Coors Light, but just regular Coors Banquet beer, you know, just the regular. I said, I bet I haven't had one of those in 25 years. I don't even remember what they taste like, you know. And but it was ranked number one. So it was the best, quote, cheap beer. I said, I'm going to buy a six-pack of that, just test that shit out. So we were walking through there. And she goes, there's your Coors you're talking about buying. It was a 30-pack, $20. That seems cheap. I don't know if it is or not. 30-pack of Coors, just Coors. I don't think I've had a Coors in literally a quarter of a century. So I said, I'm going to buy that. And she goes, all right, whatever. And so she paid for, you know, out of our joint account, $35 worth of craft beer, high-end shit, Toppling Giants, you know, obscure stuff. And then I bought, right behind her, a 30-pack of Coors. And I was, like, being self-conscious. I was, like, checking out, and I saw all these people with all these fancy beers, and I'm, like, got this big 30-pack of the Coors. I'm, like, looking around. I'm, like, feeling all kinds of social pressure, you know. I felt self-conscious. So I haven't even had one yet. It's down in the – it was hot. I bought it hot, so I put it in the fridge. It's been down there since Saturday. I haven't drank any of them. I'll report back on whether or not – you know, cheap beers, I'll go all day long on the Pabst Blue Ribbon and also the Miller Genuine Draft. Those are my cheap beers, you know. I still have, like, a fondness for the Rolling Rock. You know, I don't know if that would fall into that category. I guess it would. I like Rolling Rock, but it's not made in the glass-lined tanks of old La Trobe like it used to be. Now it's made in, like, New Jersey or something. Like, what the? I think the Miller or somebody bought it. Sucks. So anyway, so that's what we did Saturday. It was fun. It was a beautiful day. You know, we went down there and we did some shopping, you know, did some stuff. Bought some jelly beans, we bought some coffee, and we bought some other stuff. I can't remember. And some beer, and a Bunker Buster of Coors that I got in the refrigerator downstairs. I was wearing this pink shirt. I have this pink button-up shirt that I wear to work sometimes. Every time I wear that thing on the weekend, I get people saying, I like that shirt, you know. I had this woman, and I don't know if I mentioned this or not, but this woman said... it was a few weeks ago. I was wearing that shirt, maybe like a month ago. And she goes, oh, I like that shirt. I wish I could get my husband to wear something like that, but he's a man. No. So that was the implication. She goes, I wish I could get my husband to wear something like that, but he would think it was too effeminate or something. That's what he said. That's what she said. Something along those lines. But he would consider that too feminine. I think that's what she said. I'm like, what the? I said, what the hell's that? She goes, well, I don't mean anything. I mean, I think it's great that you feel confident enough in your heterosexuality to wear a pink button up shirt to work. And I said, get off it. You know, what the hell? So anyway, we were out last weekend, or no, this past weekend. And everywhere we went, hell, I like your shirt. I mean, I wouldn't wear something like that. I wouldn't be caught dead in something like a garment like that. But, hey, whatever. But anyway, I was wearing this pink shirt. Every time I wear it, I get all these comments. Is that, like, so crazy that a person would wear? It's not, like, hot pink. It's pink. It's a dress shirt type thing. It's kind of like salmon, or as a woman said the other day at a furniture store, she goes, I like that shirt. I like all things salmon. Salmon? Is that the way you pronounce that? I don't know. I mean, I've always heard salmon. She goes, I like anything that's salmon. All right. Salmonella? What? Who? Where? So anyway, I was wearing that pink shirt, getting all kinds of comments on it. I mean, everybody's like accusing me of, I don't know what the implication is. I mean, I wish my husband would wear it, but he's a man. He's a real man. All right. What else? So we went to Lowe's on Sunday, Lowe's and Home Depot. We're thinking about getting a new garage door. Ours has got, like, paint on it that's, like, flake. It's, like, starting to come off, you know. And we talked to a guy last summer about it. And he goes, you can't paint that. That shit won't work. You got to get a new garage door. I said, what? That seems like a little. But anyway, that thing's like heavy. It's an old. This house was built in 1966. I have a feeling it's the original garage door. That thing is heavy. If that thing fell on you, mister, it'd be lights out. You know, that thing fall across your legs. You'd be in a wheelchair forever. You know. So anyway, we're thinking about maybe getting a new garage door. You know, we're grasping at straws. You know. So we went to both of those stores, and you know, the garage doors, like you have I have these inner sensors, right? I mean, I'm definitely, I have no idea really about anything to do with home repairs or anything like that, because I have no interest in it. I'm not good at it. I don't want to be good at it. I don't care, etc. Right? So that's not really in my wheelhouse. But I've lived a long time. I've had experiences. I've been a homeowner since 1990 and three. So I know some things. And I have these inner sensors. I know approximately what something's going to cost, right? Just from years and years of picking up data, however how you want to pronounce it. Data. Anyway, so we went in, and the garage doors cost, the ones we were interested in, about what I think, right? So then nobody would help us at one of the stores. I get them mixed up. They're interchangeable in my mind. The first store we went to, there was nobody around. Nobody gave two shits about anything. So we just looked at them and we were like, all right, well, how much does it cost to have the thing installed and have the old one hauled away and have the garage door opener reconnected and all that stuff? We didn't know. There's no signs. There's nobody around. So then we went to the second store, and there's this guy standing there in that area. And we said, hey, Tony said, hey, how much, just in general, you know, just we want a ballpark, how much would it cost to get a one-car garage door replaced, like the installation of it? He just goes, $600. He's like, he didn't look anything up, or he just like pulls it out, you know, he just goes, $600 approximately. I was like, holy shit. That doesn't see my inner sensors. My inner sensors were saying 300. I don't know what that's based on. It's based on living this life, based on living in this world, and I have a general idea of how much things cost. And that was double what I was expecting. And I was like, holy crap, you know? He goes, well, it might be slightly lower. I mean, I could, if you have the dimensions, I can draw up an estimate for you. I said, well, we don't have the dimensions. I mean, we don't ride around with a notebook full of measurements, you know. So we're just trying to get some kind of like general idea. He goes, about, you know, plan on 600. I said, so we're talking like $1,200 or something, or 1,300. He goes, yeah, in that neighborhood. I said, that seems a little steep to me. He goes, it is what it is. I said, do they haul away the old one? Yep. Will they hook up rehook up the garage door opener? Yep. I said, all right, well, still sounds too high to me. He goes, well, you know, bring me some measurements. So anyway, I have the inner sensors. That blew, Tony said, I was thinking 200. I said, your sensors are off, but mine are more realistic. 300 seems more like it, and it was double. And then we never got a hard, well, they never gave us any hard information, you know. He just pulls this number out. It felt like he was just like, $700, $600. He just pulls a number out of his ass, you know. So I don't know. We're probably not going to do any of this. It's like the weather's changing, spring's rolling. We want to start doing some. We want to do some fixer uppers. Well, I mean, I'm not doing them myself. I mean, let's not get crazy. But you know, so we did that. That was our weekend. That's how things went for us. And then it was back on Monday to harsh reality. Ugh. I tried to record this episode in my car with my fancy new microphone. You know, I wanted to do one of those riding to work with Jeff. And if I don't sound like a hick, some kind of hillbilly, you know, all the time, I certainly do when I say riding to work with Jeff. Why is that? I don't know. Wonder why I sound like a hillbilly. Huh. Interesting. It's a curious. It's a mystery. A real mystery. All right. Anyway, that didn't work out. I started coughing. My throat started getting, and I was like coughing, you know. I don't know. I'm a physical mess. So now I'm a day behind on this stuff. Anyway, We're getting near the end. Before I go, though, I want to play something. This is apparently, there's no explanation to this. This came in over the hotline. I mentioned recently that I put on this jacket that was full of static electricity. That thing was crackling. I mean, that thing was like full of electricity. You know, I felt like I was wearing some kind of like, Freddie Mercury coat, you know. I mean, if you put that thing in the dark and you just see sparkles all over this thing, it's like some kind of Freddie Mercury / Elton John coat. So I put that thing on and I started to zip it up from the bottom up. You know, that's the way you zip things. You generally don't zip it from the top down. Right. Anyway, I was zipping it up from the bottom up and I touched, the thing is full of electricity, static electricity. And I touched my zipper. And I sent a jolt of real electricity straight through my wiener. I had never experienced that before in my life, you know. And it was, I don't know, I didn't like it. I didn't care for it, and I wouldn't recommend it. So, anyway, I got this. This is apparently a reaction to that, although there's no explanation, all right. And this came in over the hotline, all right. Here we go.
Zipper's gonna shock you through electric wang the new, a winter coat in the dryer. Zipper's gonna shock you through electric wang the new, winter coat is in the dryer.
All right. Okay, there you go. You know, I think somebody else needs to do a parody song of, what's that guy's name from Genesis? Shock the Monkey, Peter Gabriel. Somebody should do a Shock the Wiener. So if any you musicians out there, you guys want to do, you know, Electric Avenue by Eddie Grant, by the way. You know, there, that was good. That's good. Now somebody needs to do a Shock the Wiener by Peter Gabriel. All right. We are definitely at the end of this one. Hope you guys enjoyed it. If you want two of these a week instead of a measly one, and I don't know why you wouldn't. I mean, how in the world could you say, nah, one's good enough? That seems impossible to me. So if you want to double down and get an extra episode every week, you can do it easily. Just head on over to patreon.com. That's Patreon, patreon.com/JeffK. Sign up for a $4 or more monthly donation. They call it a patronage, whatever you call it. It's the same thing. It helps me out. It's $4. Put it on a credit card. Comes out at the first of every month. And in return, you'll get an extra episode every week. Full-length episodes, just like this one, every week. Not every once in a while. Not every month. That's for suckers. You get one every week. $4. You can donate more. It's a donation. You can, you know, it's up to you. It's all up to you. So, but at the $4 mark, it'll unlock the Patreon episodes that come out every week. So if you want to do it today, patreon.com/JeffK. And if you want to leave a message on my hotline, like old Eddie Grant did, the Electric Avenue, what do you call it? Anyway, if you want to do that, you can call my hotline. Let's see, the number is 570-290-8151. Again, 570-290-8151. Call me 24 hours a day. It's a Google thing. It's a Google Voice. It's voicemail. You can leave a message, and I'll probably use it in a future episode. So do that today. Also, if you want to send me an email, you can fire that bastard off to surfreportpod@gmail.com. All right. Also, follow my exploits on the $10 scratch-off project. Last week I had a little success. You can read all about it over at thewvsr.com/scratch-off. All right? We're at the end of this thing. I hope you enjoyed it. I'll see you soon over on the Patreon side. Until then, you guys have yourselves a fine, fine day. I'll see you. Bye. lot of bunch of bumpkins.